Take your Bibles to Matthew 12. I'm going to talk to you this morning about a subject that probably will not be spoke about a whole lot this morning. But it's something that we need to be aware of. I don't know if you watched any news this week or any week. You can see things are taking place that is so out of the ordinary that normal people, you would say, would not do. You think about so many violent people out on streets today, and not only is it to the male population, but to the female population as well, that people are acting ways that is uncommon to what we grew up, that there's always been killing, there's always been brutality, there's always been mean acts taken throughout the world. And we said this morning that one of the royal people of England passed away. Most of you know Queen Elizabeth. She was a very distinguished lady and served in that capacity for 70 years. And the people there mourn her passing. She was a good example of in her position that she operated in. But I told Christ this morning, I don't know her spiritual condition. I don't know if the woman was saved or not. Hopefully that she was. But if she, in this life, she had all of the things that we think we would like to have. We would like to have all that royalty. We'd like to be able to live in castles, and we'd like to have be able to tell one to go here and another to go there. We'd like to be able to meet with dignitaries and all of that. She had 70 years of that. But I said this morning that some little girl that never been out of the state, never got to entertain royalty, never got to live in a mansion, never got to have all of the hoopla that and the prestige that this lady had. But in eternity, that little girl had been faithful to God. She'd been serving in the church. She will have more royalty for eternity. And I'd rather have an eternal reward than have a temporal. Down here, everything is going to pass away. It's what that you do down here for the Lord. We talked about building and the right foundation and this morning. But we're in a spiritual warfare. Most Christian people today don't know a whole lot about warfare. And I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. If you have your Bibles in chapter 12 of Matthew, if you want to stand with me, I'll begin reading at verse 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they entered in and dwelt there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Look, you turn your Bibles over to Luke 11. Here in Matthew, he's talking about the generation of Israel. But in Luke, in verse 24, he said, "And when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none. He saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they entered in and dwelt there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first." Now, while you're standing there and enjoying the relaxation there, look at 1 Timothy 4. If you get tired of standing, you can go ahead and sit down. I know it's hard on some of you to stand this long, myself included. Chapter 4, 1 Timothy, verse 1 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Now, Father, this morning we do pray your blessing upon the reading of your word, and we sure do thank you for the privilege of assembling and, Lord, together before you and praying, our Father, that you would bless the reading of your word. And Lord, if it would please you to give me understanding of the words that you would have me to say, and may, Lord, that we be awakened until the hour of the day that we live in. May you bless here this morning. May, Lord, that there be one that has never come to know you as Savior, that they would, Lord, get out of the kingdom of the devil and get into the kingdom of God and want to, Lord, to live for you. Now, I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would rebuke any spirit that may be trying, Lord, to hinder the word of going out. And, Lord, we know it's a battle. And so, Holy Spirit of God, we ask for your presence in a very special way. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. As I mentioned, we even in our mission conference, that the devil is alive and the devil is real. You'd be surprised how many of you sitting here today don't know that the devil is real. You say, "Well, I believe there's a devil." Well, what do you, have you personally had an experience with him? And the devil will do everything he can here this morning to keep me from bad-mouthing him. But you find Jesus in Matthew 13 reveals what the course of the present age will be like. Now, in Matthew 13, I'll not turn there for sake of time, but it talks about the parable of the sower. And it teaches that this age will feature the sowing of the gospel seed on different types of soil. And you find that people will have varying responses to the gospel. Some good, some bad, and some mixed, really. The parable of the mustard seed in Matthew 13 reveals that God's spiritual kingdom will have a small beginning, hardly even noticeable, but a small mustard seed can produce a large plant. Now, you may not know it, but a mustard seed can grow to 15 foot. And so God's starts out with a small, but a spiritual kingdom that would be small, but it grows to be a very large kingdom, to where that the fowls of the air can, and fowls are always looked upon in the scripture as evil spirits. And the parable of leaven. In the scripture, leaven represents evil, sin. You may never tell you, I'm not going to be able to. Matthew 16, Mark 8, Luke 12. But a parable means that false teachers will emerge and grow and be strong in the church by the time of the second coming. Now, you may not understand that, what he is saying here, the sin that gets into the church, and you will find false teaching will gather into the church, and you are finding this prevailing all across our country and our world. And we can discern the work of the devil in these parables. And people can have different response to the gospel because of forces that are opposed to the gospel. Now, what forces oppose the gospel? Well, we have three enemies that we declare unto you that we face as a Christian. We have the enemy of the world. If you are a friend with the world, you're an enemy of God. We have the devil. Now, do you understand that today that most preachers don't even believe in a literal devil? I think there was a poll taken among 5,000 clergymen, and most of them liberal, but 73% of them did not believe in a literal devil, in a devil of demons even. And so you have people professing in church to know the Lord, but yet to believe in the Bible is another thing. And so false teachers will come forth, as Tim said, and infiltrate the church, and they are looking rooted in the teaching of demons. And so what I'm going to deal with here today basically is that dealing with Satan's army and the spiritual warfare that you and I are engaged in. And you find that the demons are standing against God's kingdom. Satan, through the Antichrist, will seek to set up a counterfeit kingdom during the tribulation. And so he's at work here, and if you don't believe that the devil is real, if you don't believe that demons are real, then you got a problem with Job. If you don't think that Job, and I read some of these philosophers that teach that there is no devil, that evil spirit is not to be held to, you find the oldest book in the Bible, the oldest book in the world, Job. And Job, you find that dealing with Satan even back in the 1500s B.C. Yet we have the 20th century soothsayers trying to teach you that there is no devil. Well, now, if I could teach you today that there's no evil spirit, if there's no army of demons out there, you can just live your life and you're not accountable to that, that would be a good. You could go and maybe join up with the JWs. But what I'm saying to you today is that we are in a spiritual warfare. All of this killing, all of this evil stuff that's going on in our world today is not out of normal actions of people. These folks, you have a world today that's under demonic oppression, under demonic control, and the devil and with his armies are trying to today, more so even than ever, as we draw closer to the coming of Christ, try to destroy your faith in God. They'll try to hinder you from being a servant to the Lord. And you find that every child of God, I believe, has had a demon assigned to them. Someone once said that if you have a proper fear of the Lord, you need not fear anyone else. And if you lack fear of the Lord, there is plenty to be fearful of. I don't know where you stand today. I don't know how you feel about the devil. I don't know how you feel about the warfare that we have. The Bible teaches us that, that we're in a warfare. What are, real quickly, demon spirits? Well, you find that they evil spirits, that keep in mind Paul said, in the latter days, that they will be false teachers and be heeding into seducing spirits. And seducing spirits are those that are trying to lure you, trying to get you to take the bait. You go fishing. You don't just throw a line out there with a hook on it, do you? No, you put a worm or you put bait on it to try to lure the fish to take a bite of that. And this is what in our religious realm today, that the demons are putting forth seducing spirits to try to seduce you to do something that is anti Christ. It's that which the devil has got his plan and his army. And so you find evil spirits that prevail. Scripture says nothing of good demons. Now, in the Bible, we call them demons, but in the Bible, they are referred to as devils. In that, but we'll call them demons because you're more familiar with the modern day terminology of demons, of devils, as the devil's servants as demons. Now you've been infiltrated all across the TV and the radio of the rise of mediums and psychics and those that can teach you that everything is all right on the other side of the when you pass over. They never talk about being born again. They never talk about the blood of Christ. They never talk about a sin debt having to be paid. They talk about the joys of being on the other side, regardless of whatever, and those that are waiting for you over there, and it's all good. But can I say to you, now that will be all right for a Christian. But for a person that is not born again, that will not fit at all. And so I say to us today, you as a child of God, you got something to look forward to. As a child of God, there's going to be a great day when we pass over on the other side, or when we step out of this body and step into the presence of the Lord. But could I say to you today, though, that that's only reserved for those who have been washed in the blood, for those who have been born again, for those who know Jesus Christ personally as a Savior. Now, if you're trying to think and get to thinking, and we get it in our minds that, well, it doesn't matter how I act or how I serve or what I do, everything's all right over on the other side. Can I say to you that that is a lie that the devil is spreading throughout the airways, and what he's a sucker and so many people into that, and you find that if you're not careful, he'll come right into your home, right into your life, and get you to start thinking that it's all right to live ungodly, live ever how you want to live, and not have to the consequences to that. Evil spirits, and you find that they're part of the wicked host of Satan. Satan is a king with a kingdom. Demons are part of Satan's organized kingdom. Matthew 4:8. You find, I'm in Matthew. I'll just read it to you real quickly. He says that again the devil taketh him up into exceeded high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these will I give thee. Now, if Satan don't have a kingdom, how can he give them to the Lord? Satan has a kingdom, and he is the king of it, and he's got more people right now that is in that kingdom. But you're born into the world, you're born into that kingdom. Now, you take some good religious organizations, they supposedly think that when you're born into that church, and then you're all right. Sprinkle a little water on you, and you're under covenant of grace, and you can do whatever you want to. But could I say to you that here that if you're not saved and you're not born again, you're in the kingdom of God. Now, I realize that children that come until they reach the age of accountability are under a special grace of God. But I'm saying to you that when they come to know the Lord, and by the way, that's why you ought to have your children in a good Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church, that where they can hear the gospel and get saved. You'd be surprised how many children are going to a church today that never hear the gospel. It's all fun and games. It's all that to what we can get, and they're coming out with a washed-down version of Christianity. And so I say to you this morning that are you familiar with demon spirits? And I would hear, there's no way I'm going to be able to get through what I want to say today, but disembodied spirits of the pre-Adamic race in Genesis 1-2, 1:28, Isaiah 14:7, you find you run into the devil in Isaiah 14. You run into him in Ezekiel 28. You don't think that the devil is real. What I'm trying to get across to you this morning is for you to be alert to the warfare that is going on in our world today, and that it is coming into and being acted out into those that are in the world. You see it in the killings. You see it in the lies, and you see it in so many different things. You find that there is the not only the seducing spirits, the unclean spirits. They indwell unbelievers as the Holy Spirit dwells a Christian. Look at Luke 8. Said, boy, a preacher's gone off. He don't know what he's talking about. I'll tell you. It ain't what I think. It's what the Word of God says. Look at verse 27. They arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time and wore no clothes. I go down to the beaches and you see this here taking place. Neither abode in any house, but in the tomb. Go to San Francisco and L.A. and see them on the street. They don't have to have homes. You take those folks that we call homeless. Let me say to you that most of them are demonic possessed. And you take here that when he saw Jesus, you find that he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. Now, if demons, they're not as dumb as Christians are. They know that the devil is real. They know whose side they're on. And they know that who Jesus is. And they know that they're going to one day come under his judgment. And so I say to you, to that unclean spirits, they seem unclean simply means to make impure, is to make common, to make offensive, to make naked. And so I say to you, the unclean spirits that we talked about even earlier over there in the in Matthew 12, you have what you have is a picture also of a lot of reformation and not regeneration. And the man the Spirit went out of, when he came back, he was all cleaned up. He got rid of his smoking, his drinking, his cussing, and being mean to his wife, and got to her wife being mean to her husband, and he got into that. He said, this thing is cleaned up. I'll take back up, come back in. Now let me say to you this morning, into that here, a lot of people have a reform, but they've never been born again. You can clean up a lot of things in your life, but boy, if you've not had a born-again experience with the Lord, if you do not know that you have been changed, if you do not know that God dwells within you, you're still in the Satan's kingdom. You find into that he these unclean spirits, they're not particular who that they want to stay around. They lack a body. Spirits, demons, they want a place to dwell. Now, you know the guy in Mark 5 that had the unclean spirits in that, and the Lord rebuked them out. They wanted, they said, can we go into the hogs? If they can't get a human body, they'll take a hog. And into that, they want to possess a body. And into that, and so could I say to you this morning, into that, that you will find that that the demons will try to, I don't believe, I'll make this clear before I quit, I don't believe a Christian can be possessed with demonic spirits. But boy, he sure can be influenced. If you don't put up a guard around about you, you're going to find that the demons will overtake you, and you will find that the unclean spirits will come in, and the impure things that that you enjoy doing, you're going to keep in mind is not of God. It's not of God when you want to hurt somebody. God teaches us that we are to be gentle, to be loving, to be kind. God doesn't want me to go out here and kill Jimmy just because that I don't like the way he looks, the way he's holding a baby. No, that's not of God. And if he's as a child of God, God wants us to. He said, "How can you love others if you can't love me?" How can you love your brother whom you haven't seen if you can't love me? How can you love me whom you haven't seen? So we talk about real quickly here, that lying spirits. There are spirits of lying. Now, I'll tell you what, we are bombarded with a lot of lies. You don't have to go very far and turn very many channels to get you a good lie going. You find here that what's causing that lying? A lying spirit. Do you have one? You like to lie? Well, at one time, we probably all did. The word lie means, it means to deceive. It means to be deceitful, to speak falsely or utter untruth, to make false statement with intent to deceive. John 8:44, while you're right there close to Luke, you find here that John 8, and you know the verse pretty well if you read your Bible much, but he says this, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your fathers you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is what? A liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Now the Lord here is talking about into that the characteristics of the devil, that he's a liar. And you find that if you've not been born again, if you're sitting here not saved, the devil, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, is your father. That's because of what Jesus said. He said that. Now we deal in the five senses. We deal in the physical realm. We don't deal much in the spiritual realm. We don't see things. But into that, could I say to you that there is a demonic world out there? Ask Elisha. The Syrian army came up against the king and the Gehazi. Elisha's servant said, "Oh boy, look at all of those out there. There's no way for us." And Elisha told God, said, "Lord, open his eyes and let him see." And when he opened the servant's eyes, and he saw the angelic host that camped all around the armies of Syria. Hey, he said, "There's more for us than there is against us." Can I say to you, there is an angelic world out there of good angels. I think that every one of us that have been saved have got a ministered spirit that is assigned to us. I know I've got one. I mean, he's kept me out of a whole lot of issues but I'm saying that there is a spiritual world out there that the average Christian don't think about. And you find that we want the good angel, we want the good spirits around us. But boy, I tell you, those bad spirits, those evil spirits, those spirits of the devil are around you and trying every way to get you to lose your testimony, to keep you to get away from serving God. And you find into that they look. Look at Revelation 21:8. And he said this, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, could I say to you today, if you've not been born again, you got all those charges against you. If you've not been born again and your sin debt hasn't been paid, you're going to go out into being these here. If you break one law, you broke them all. You may say, "Well, I'm not a murderer." Well, have you lied a little bit? You got right into the group with the murderers. They're all going to the same place. They're all going to hell. And let me say to you today here, if you're not born again, and I don't have time to talk about the deaf spirits, the dumb spirits that are out there as well, but you find that you and I this morning, we need to be mindful that there is a warfare going on. You need to be mindful that Satan's ultimate intentions is to ruin you. He can attack a Christian physically, as he did Job, spiritually, as he did Job. He can sift a Christian, as he did Peter in Luke. You remember the Lord said that Satan was going to sift you? You think that you are able to stand against the thing that over Judy said Michael to rebuke the devil? You're no match for the devil. And if you don't have God, the Holy Spirit, in you as the right spirit to keep the evil spirits out, you're going to find out that you're going to be defeated in your Christian life. And so I say to us this morning, into that, you can, he can feel hearts to lie, interesting, we read it, we don't think a whole lot about it, but if you over to about the fifth chapter of Acts, and there's an old boy that, he's in the church. And, Barnabas had, come through, he sold all he had, gave it to the church. Ananias, you know that guy? You never did name your baby Ananias, did you? No. Or Jezebel, or, you know. Ananias come by and he said, I sold my land. I want to give it to the church. And Peter said, you know, is this all of it? Oh, yeah, that's it. And Peter listened to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit said, he's lying to you. And Peter said, Ananias, why do you want to lie to the Holy Spirit? And what happened to that old boy? He didn't get to eat another meal out here, did he? He got dropped over dead. They had to carry him out, drag him out. Well, here comes his wife, lovely as she was, Sapphira. And she uttered the same thing. She's a lying right with him. Now, you got to be careful. A wife, don't get the line for your husband. And a husband, don't get the line for your wife. It's easy to do, isn't it? If you want a good meal, you got to maybe sometimes back up on the truth. But don't do it. You try to keep the line away. Because Sapphira come in and said, hey, we're giving our money because we sold our place. And Peter said, did you give it all? And she agreed right with him, but she did. And boy, had two burials right there. Two funerals took place. And you got to be careful about your line. Those lying spirits will come in and cause you to and tempt you to lie. Are you listening, young people? Are you listening? It was a whole lot easier for me to lie when I was young. I grew right good at it by the time I hit my 20s. I know y'all didn't have that problem, did you? In my teen years, if I could lie to get out of a spanking, would you not do it? You learn to lie early. But that demonic spirit continues to come and go. And so let me say to you this morning that he will do anything he can to obstruct the purposes of God. He desires to accomplish Christ, his followers, he has his liberal scholars, and they make a joke of the devil and the Bible. They deny his existence. And could I say to you this morning that the devil is real? We're in a spiritual warfare. The things oftentimes that you're having to deal with are from the spiritual world. And could I say to you, is that the fellow that he cleaned his house up, the demon went out and brought back seven more? Now, if you're not careful, now you can you see all across the country people that had made reformed, but they didn't get born again. And after a while, they go right back into that state of living ever how they want to live. You this morning, are you mindful that you are in a spiritual warfare? Are you mindful that the devil is going to do what he can to keep you from having a good testimony for God and from serving the Lord? Thank God that you are in God's Christ kingdom and you've been saved and you're a child of God. You got the victory over the devil. If you're a child of God and you're here this morning and you know that you've been washed in the blood, your sins are forgiven, the devil can't touch you. But what I say to you today, if you're here and you're not saved, the devil already has got you where he wants you. Why don't you get saved if you're not saved? Now listen, if you're a child of God and you know that you're not living for God, you know that your life is not what God would have it to be, and you know that you're allowing the devil to come in with some unclean spirits into your life, and that you're thinking upon things and you're acting upon things that you know is not what it ought to be, keep in mind that you ought to rebuke those, and you ought to get them out, and don't yield to those spirits as they try to get you to disobey the Lord. Let's stand, please.